Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 15th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes,
it
is.
Before I determine if it's a good one or not.
Well, look outside your window. If it's sunny, it's good. If it's light, it's good. All right. Are you ready for our new one, Why You Say It? Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Why do we say about... Why do we say behind the scenes?
Well, I would think it's because when there's plays and there's different types of productions, all the changes happen behind the scenes that make it happen. And maybe that's what they mean by behind the scenes. You don't necessarily, you know, see all the workings behind something actually getting in front of the public. I don't know.
Well, that's kind of disturbing that you've already got one right out of this book.
Oh, yay! It's the first time.
Yes. Development of the theater proceeded rapidly during the long reign of England's Queen Elizabeth I. However, more attention was given to scripts and actors than to stage settings. Most performances took place before backdrops of simple curtains. James I and Charles I encouraged free spending in the arts. Under their sponsorship, craftsmen began making elaborate painted slides and hangings for backdrops on a stage. Such pieces, which often represented landscapes, were simply known as scenes. In many plays and operas, important action was not represented on the stage. Instead, it was simply reported to the audience. This was especially the case with murders and executions, which were often treated as having taken place between acts. Patrons joked about the fact that many events occurred, not on stage, but behind the scenes.
Really? Wow, can I stop? The year's over and I finally get one.
Yeah, what can I tell you, huh? And on an uptick. Hence, real-life action hidden from the public came to be described by the term born in the theater. There you go. You know, kind of like legislation.
Is that kind of like the way sausage gets made, too, you know?
Okay, you want the food analogy? You betcha.
Yeah.
Oh, so what was your takeaway from CSAC this year?
Well, it was really interesting to see so many people together again. So the first one is, people were behaving, I'd say, you know, trying to make sure they were respecting whatever somebody else, you know, someone who was wearing, you know, people wearing masks weren't given, you know, grief or anything. It was like people really, I think, worked to understand where the other person was coming from and, you know, so
laissez-faire about it.
Well, and I think they're in a group that deals with this every day, and every county is a little different, and some have had some real interesting things happening. So, you know, most of all, I think we were just, you know, happy to be there. We had to have, we did show, I don't know if we did proof of vaccination. I think it was proof of vaccination or then testing while you're there if you didn't have it. So there was a protocol to follow, and I don't think it really impacted negatively the turnout.
How many were there?
So that was lots. I don't know.
Some boards don't have five. Some have got smaller bodies,
yeah,
and some have got larger bodies.
Well,
so I just have no idea.
In California, they all have five except for San Francisco and L.A., I think, or maybe L.A. even has five. But, I mean, they all represent, you know, counties. You've got a county of 1,500 people, you know, Alpine, that's got five supervisors, you know.
Right.
It's a little bit different. But some counties sent their entire boards. Some just send their reps. They had a lot of the new supervisors there. It was fun. You know, everyone's still trying to figure out, you know, how to do these things in person. You know, it was a little bit different, but... on total, it was similar. You know, the workshops are, I think, one of the things that I get the most out of. So they had different workshops on whether it was, you know, funding sources or about broadband or, you know, you could just not name any issue. Quite frankly, most issues that any county faces, you deal with it. Whether you're a large county or a small one, and a lot of things, and that's kind of what CSAC tries to focus on. Of course, there are the large urban caucus that will have some of them.
Right, and we'll talk about what they did to stir things up when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. So, Virginia, before the break, you were talking about some of those from the larger population centers and that they've got their own special, I guess, sets of needs or special handshake.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. Let's say there's a group called the Large Urban Caucus, which means, like it says, the large urban caucuses from throughout the state. And then there's also the rural, you know, our rural group that meets, you know, as our caucus. So, I think, you know, what I see is most of the challenges that counties have are really similar. You know, there's probably some
just scale.
Yeah, I think in many cases just scale, and you know, you find out that. The drama, I hate that word, but it is true in many cases, whether you're talking like government or business or behind the scenes, as you might say, everybody's got something of that going on in their own community. And so that's part of when you get to these events and you've got, you know, big counties, you've got little counties, but you have a conversation and you realize they're pretty similar. I got to speak at this one session that we call the round table, and it lets 10 supervisors give a 3-minute presentation on either like an issue the community is facing or something, a creative way they dealt with an issue. And the idea is to really grab someone's attention, and then you go and you move around and have a conversation at the different tables. And so I brought forward the question of, and it's not easy in 2 minutes, what do you do with a separately elected official that doesn't believe that they have responsibility to the board? And it could be, you know, there's sheriffs that fit that mold in some places right now. There are assessors, there are auditors, not just them, that, you know, not just in our instance. So there's a bit of this situation that really resonates with people. And, you know, I did take the list of, you know, I know it all depends on what news source someone's listening to, but I think it's pretty safe to say that we had 3 pages of statutorily required things that should have been done that haven't been done. And so I took those along with the dollar amounts that, you know, have currently been lost, could be lost, you know, whatever, how far down you want to go. And, you know, and this, I said, if this doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. Right. So there's probably 15 people that came over to our table. And it was interesting because there were some that have had similar issues, especially regarding, say, a situation with an elected auditor. And actually, we had a couple people with us that were former elected auditors who ended up, you know, they're now CAOs of their counties. And let's just say people were really wide-eyed about what we were experiencing and also had a really hard time understanding in many ways how it could get this bad while at the same time saying, you know, yeah, there's not a lot you can do about it. And so that was the sad takeaway is no matter what the elected, separately elected official is, there's really not a big, I don't know. There's nothing to really make something happen. You know, what you can start doing is basically taking away certain chores.
Right, but didn't the supervisors just recently, 6-month horizon, recently transfer the payroll responsibilities to the auditor's office?
Well, we did. And remember, I guess, okay, in a perfect world or in a county that there's no perfect counties, let me first say that, but, you know, it belongs in an auditor's office. And for reasons you can't go into here necessarily, it had been moved in the past to a different location in human resources to try to, you know, create a different department, I guess. Not a department, but a division within that department. And, you know, that ended up was not working well, so it made sense to go back to the auditor's office for that. And, however, that comes with, you know, a set of challenges that we were told were minimal that seems to be coming a lot more challenging. You know, I think most people have heard about some of our snafus with payroll, and I'm not here to say that it was all the fault of the auditor's office. I think it's actually probably a combination of things that we're still trying to determine, but it's not working out as well. And we had Tuesday there was a conversation on you know, where do we go with this? Is this working? You know, so
for
us now,
there are certainly jobs that are constitutionally mandated or elected positions. There are departments that are required, but is this a shining example of the opportunity to hire out and just, you know, take payroll specifically, just, you know, ADP or, you know, any of those types of outfits and just privatize?
We actually did. We spent a lot of money researching that, and it did not work for us. But there are other things you can actually create. You know, we created the aviation department, which was, you know, for a very long time under Public Works instead. So, you know, there could be conversations of an actual payroll department. So obviously those kind of things are going to be, you know, for future conversations. But I think, you know, one of your questions when you first asked this was basically, does it need to be an elected office? And you probably remember several years ago, we had an item on the ballot that basically would have taken the separately elected auditor position and made it become an appointed position based on qualifications, not based on the vote count, right? And you can only do that like an off-year election, so like in every two-year cycle, I believe, or 4 years, I guess. And so while we had, it had good support, we had some former auditor controllers from the county who were all good people who spoke, saying they did not feel that it should be changed from the elected because they felt that there was an opportunity for someone to abuse the system if they were appointed, like someone might try to pressure them to do something. And unfortunately, the treasurer tax collector who had been in favor also shifted direction, so that lost when it went to the voters. And so the only way you can change that is to go through that process.
And we'll talk about what that means when we come back. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Virginia, before the break, you were talking about the process of either combining offices or departments or of taking an elected into an appointed position rather than the other way around, which I suppose could happen also, taking an appointed and converting that into an elected. as memory serves me, when that last attempt occurred, that the county treasurer, John Bartholomew, didn't feel that the timing was right, and he didn't want it to be perceived as something other than making efficiencies, so he kind of backed off. And I suppose that that's probably normal when you're working, you know, the departments are working with each other and whatnot, but has something changed either at the state level or other counties to change that perspective?
Well, I think, and I can't speak for our treasurer tax collector. I mean, he does an incredible job. And I think part of it, because he has started out being in favor of it, but over time shifted. And my understanding is he felt that it might have been putting more duties on his office, that his office would not be able to seamlessly, easily do, right? So I think that was part of the concern there. But I do believe the most recent experiences may have kind of shifted that perception a bit, and that it would have been it would have been something that could have been beneficial to the county.
Now, are there other departments that you would consider mushing?
There's actually some by statute that I think you can't have as appointed. To be honest, I don't remember them all right now.
I do. DA?
Do you have a list there?
This is about the only thing I remember from the Budget Task Force. Decades ago, I was on.
I'm glad you took something useful.
Yeah, DA, sheriff, and treasurer. Those are the three constitutional offices that are required. Beyond that, it's optional based on whatever the local community wants to do.
Yeah, and how we ended up with all the ones that we did that are elected, that predates me. That probably predates my dad.
Yeah.
You know, I it was probably just something that was always there. But, you know, I think there's also, in some cases, there's efficiencies of scale, too, you know, where you can probably combine some as well. I mean, a lot of places create a Department of Finance, which is one of the conversations we were having back, you know, in the past.
Yeah, that's illogical, and it's function related, you know, so it makes sense.
Yeah, so we'll see. You know, at this current time, you know, because this office is up for election again next year, you know, there's no changing it at this point anyway. So it's
could you put an advisory vote on the ballot?
I think you can only do that in the mid-year election, but
non-binding advisory vote.
You know, you might be able to. I don't want to say yes or no without actually having better.
Your people will look into it. Yeah,
better,
okay.
Better information than I. Yeah, because I don't. All I need is for you the rest of my life to go, remember when you said that? You were wrong.
Yeah.
Like, no. Don't want to give you any extra to work with. But, yeah, so, you know, it's just, it's interesting, but that did get a lot of conversation among other county supervisors, and let's just say there was a lot of, I don't say sympathy, but there was a lot of understanding of the challenges that we are in, and the limited options that we have available to us.
Well, if we step back a little bit, you can see that there would be potential issues if you had a strong-willed district attorney who thought that their office ought to receive, I don't know, whatever a dollar sign or percentage of the state of the county budget, and by God, and they just pound it and beat you up, and okay. You know,
well,
that could happen based on a personality of somebody that was in there that was a really strong advocate for their department. You're okay.
Well, and it happens with supervisors, too. I mean, I think, I hate to say it, but I think county supervisors would be the ones people are more concerned about doing that, quite frankly. You know,
Right.
are known as a strong-willed group, some stronger-willed than others, that may try to do something that's not exactly, I'm not saying any of ours, but I can see it being happening somewhere where that could feel like, you know, you don't want your auditor or treasurer to feel that they're being pressured to do X for any reason other than it's the right way, you know, that they know to do something.
Yeah, their independent decision. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but, you know, the problem is the way it currently is written, and this is the other thing I'm really interested in finding out, too. Some of the counties actually had more qualifications for some of these offices, and I know the qualifications, I believe, do come out of the elections office, local elections office. And so something else we may want to consider in the future is can you go back in and better define what those qualifications are? And is there any mechanism to check them? Because from what I recall, I believe the elections officer had said that it wasn't theirs to check the responsibility, you know, check the list of whether someone had the qualifications that when they...
Oh, really?
When they click out the papers. Well, you know...
Not taking out, but when they turn it back in, if it's something... Well, I would like to think like a sheriff. Okay, you can't have an ex-felon as your sheriff.
Yeah, well...
somebody's got to check that stuff.
Not, but, you know, hey, but I think part of it was the theory that, well, especially someone who is elected, you know, in June, clear winner in the June, still has 6 months to pretty much get their qualifications covered. And I think in this case, that's kind of what happened is, the incumbent had left the office, and so the elected, the auditor-elect, I guess you would say, actually filled in for a lot of those duties as far as managing employees. And you know, so there's just, by the time the official swearing-in was done, you know, many of those things were there. People had a lot of heartburn about there not being a CPA in the office. Apparently there's no regulations that require that, you know. To many people, it seems like it would make sense. But
right. But I would think in order to, just as turning in valid signatures on the, yeah, that is part of it, do you qualify? Here are the qualifications.
Yeah,
will you qualify tomorrow?
I don't disagree with you.
Oh, okay. Fair enough, then.
I mean, in our, you know, I mean, we're probably, you know, this sounds really awful. I think supervisors are kind of like, have to be the jack of all trades. Is it jack of all trades, master of none? But
yeah, generalist.
We're generalists. And, but, you know, we have the minimal, you know, I think there's a certain age you're supposed to be. I don't know.
It's kind of like Congress. You have to be a certain age and a citizen, a resident of the jurisdiction. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. So what's your schedule like now for the rest of the year? I know you're not meeting in chambers yet, at least with public there, but what's up for the next little bit?
We've been having that discussion. We were hoping to get back in there in January. There's a delay in getting some of the items, so you know, that's a little bit unknown right now, and we have one supervisor who had a COVID concern in the family who's not willing to come into the offices through January. So,
well, can't they do it by Zoom and everybody else be there?
Well, yes and no. The currently are we do not have the technologies in place to do the hybrid yet. So, if we were to do something before we had the hybrid pieces. So that's kind of what we're waiting to get in place. And it's just, you know, you've heard about all the shipping issues. Certain things are just a little delayed. But, you know, we had our last official meeting. There's a special meeting, I believe, on the 20th. I will actually not be in town for that one, since normally there's not a meeting then. But I think it's a quick one needed to move the grant forward, you know. So, but it still had to be scheduled. And then we come back on the 4th, and I understand Supervisor Wilson will not be with us at first meeting. But, you know, we will be back, and then you're going to be stuck with us mostly every week, probably sometimes twice a week. We got a lot of stuff got a lot of stuff going on, you know, a lot of good stuff.
Well, that's cool.
Let's see that good stuff.
Yeah, well, and maybe we'll be able to see you up there behind the dais. If nothing else, how do you throw your Nerf balls at people if you're not up there?
I don't know.
It's no fun.
It's nice to see. Yeah, that's right. You have a Nerf bomb. Maybe that's what I should do.
Yeah.
I didn't have one meeting in person this year. I mean, I chaired all the meetings remotely, which, boy, that was a...
How about a Nerf gun? Then that way you can hit the sides.
Can't get security with that.
A Nerf gun?
How about a Nerf? What is that thing? You know,
not a football. You get a slingshot.
Do that.
Boomerang.
Slingshot. There you go.
Well, I mean, it's the same.
I am like really old.
No, I wasn't thinking those little arrow things. I was thinking the ones that actually shoot small little Nerf balls.
I don't know. You could stick something hard in there. You could poke out someone's eye.
And you could be running when you do that by a pool and really get hurt.
Did you try that before? Is that why you're saying
No. Isn't that one of the things? Don't run with that, you know, by the pool, and don't run, and you might, yeah, the kid in the Christmas movie.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
All right, I'll get you one of the little 2-inch Nerf balls, and you can just kind of roll that around in the back there when somebody's time is up.
We're doing something really cool, by the way. We're adding the vote cast like City of Eureka has, where everyone votes at the same time.
Yeah.
And then it gets unveiled. That's going to be a big changer for our board. I think it's a good idea, because there's no playing politics with votes. You vote at the same time, it gets revealed at the same time.
Yep, and yeah, then that way it probably makes your meetings a little bit quicker too, because you don't hear everybody talking about what they're going to do. They just do. Novel concept. Well, can't wait for 2022. All right. Have a great Christmas. See you after the first of the year. We will see you after the first of the year.
Maybe.
Yeah, no. I know where you live.
You know, it's my birthday. Just remember that. I turn older in the next 2 weeks. So.
We all do, or have. No sympathy.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Fine.
All right.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.